Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, fucking March 12th. March 12th.
A very important day in the history of March. That was the day.
That was the first day Slash ever wore a top hat on stage, or was it Abraham Lincoln? Or would you say that those were the most famous people who ever wore a top hat, right? Now, did Lincoln just get shot while he was wearing one? So that's how everybody always draws him. I don't know. I feel like you got to be a certain height. That's tall people shit, you know, to have a fucking top hat and tails, you know. Is there anything funnier than seeing somebody short wearing tall people shit? You know, like when you went to your prom, that fucking little fucking 5 foot, 6 inch fire plug showing up wearing the fucking tails. Looking like a little goddamn penguin. Do people even wear tails? They don't even have proms anymore. Is it considered unsafe? I know that they're supervised and that they started to fucking book comedians at them. And now who's kidding who? I guess they always should have been. Especially if you have a daughter. Speaking of ladies and ladies. Ladies get in for free. They never talk about that when they talk about equal pay, huh? Ladies night. Leave your money at home and bring your snatch because you're not paying for shit. Right? They don't talk about that, do they? All the nightclubs they get in for free. For free. Actually, what they really mean, don't they really mean beautiful women? Beautiful women get in for free. You know? Mediocre to ugly women, then they just start going like, hey, you know, we're kind of full right now. And what does that do? That causes a movement. I went to a club the other night and they said it was full and it wasn't. You know, I know that because all of a sudden these other women who, yeah, they were skinnier. Yeah, they had better bone structure. Yeah, they were better looking and they wouldn't let me in. They let them in. That isn't right. When are people who aren't good looking just going to admit that they're not good looking and just realize that they're going to have to walk through another door in life? It makes you stronger. You know, I'd love to have sympathy for you, but I'm a bald, redheaded male. So, I mean, you're fucking preaching to the choir. You know? You think the club wasn't full when I showed up?
Boo-hoo! Make me my own room!
This is the fucking poor me era of human beings as we ignore real shit. Real shit that's going on. What kind of real shit is going on, Bill?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
I know there's got to be something more important than fucking bathrooms, right? We already got bathrooms. Pick one. Sorry. Anyways, plowing ahead here. You're probably wondering why I'm in such a weird, fucked up mood. I'm really not in a weird, I'm in a good mood. This is me in a good mood. I cleaned up my office, finally. Finally put things in their proper place. Found a lot of shit that I thought I lost or misplaced or even forgot that I even had. Now, a minimalist will be like, well, that's what you need to get. You need to get rid of all this. You need to get rid of all this. Where does it go there, minimalist? Into the ocean, into a fucking dump, okay? Stop acting like every fucking post-it you have out there, you're going to go sell on Craigslist and someone's going to want to buy it, okay? Isn't it more environmentally sound to be a hoarder? Rather than sending all of your shit to the dump, poisoning the soil, you have it contained within your own apartment or house or cabana. Or guest house, depending on your living situation. You can't tell me ever since OJ that when you're in a guest house, you can't be the guest and think, what if the fucking person who owns this kills their spouse and somebody else who happened to be there? Wait, am I going to be the person who happens to be there? All right, note to self, the entire time I'm a guest in this guy's house, just make sure I'm always where I'm supposed to be. How will I know where I'm supposed to be? I'm just going to avoid this fucking guy and pay the rent on time. That's what OJ did. I mean, a lot of people talk about the bad that he did, okay, which is pretty obvious at this point. But the good that he did is I think the behavior of people in guest houses, I bet if you were able to chart it, if you had an algorithm or whatever it is these number crunching people do, they would find that the behavior of the Cato Kalins of the world dramatically improved after OJ, you know. Well, I guess you can't say he killed those two people. He was acquitted. It's fucked up. How the fuck are you supposed to say that? I think I just talked myself into a corner. Look at the bird. Look at that fucking bird out there. You know, a lot of, you know, I'm just sitting there looking at that fucking thing. How that fat fuck, that bird just flew the way it just did. I think it's all about the legs. I think, I bet if you got a fucking really skinny person, right, had a beer belly and they had little bird legs, nah, it still wouldn't work, would it? You know what? I bet you could get them to try if you talk to them long enough. If you talk to them long enough, you know, come on, dude, look at you. You're shaped just like a bird. And you're smarter than that fucking thing. Give it a jump. Come on. Sorry. Anyways, this is Sunday afternoon. I just put my absolutely darling daughter in the other room for a nap. So I got the fucking big brother camera going here. Where the fuck is it? Oh, shit. Where the fuck's the camera? God damn it. I just fucking had this thing. I was killing it. I had everything going the way I needed it to be going. Oh, there it is. There it is. What is she doing? Oh, she's sleeping. Rock-a-bye cutie in the other room. Something, something, and I'll get a broom. Clean up all the shit that fell on the floor, and then you'll come out and do it some more. Oh, Dad, can you stop singing your nerd songs? Anyways, you know what's fucking amazing? Is I'm getting my Invisalign off.
Allegedly.
Just like OJ. Allegedly, I'm getting my Invisalign off this Wednesday. I can't fucking wait. I'm on train number 13. It was projected to take 16 weeks, but I had these fuckers in the whole time. I did my half of my stand-up sets. I left them in, spitting all over the fucking stage. I just wanted to get it over with, right? That's a big thing in life. When something sucks, just get it over with. Okay, you get tossed overboard in the ocean, you know what I mean? You see that shark fin, don't swim away from it. You swim at it. Head first, get it over with. What do you say to Sharky? Anyways, I'm getting my Invisalign off, and then they give me a mouth guard. So for the rest of my life, when I go to sleep, I just pop in the mouth guard, and then I'm fine, and the shit will stay the same. And it's also cool because, you know, occasionally I will grind my teeth at night because I'm a lunatic or I'm stressed. I don't know what it is, but it's something I've done ever since I was a little kid. So it all worked out. It all fucking worked out. And I highly recommend it. And they're not paying me to tell you guys that fucking Invisalign is the shit, but it's the shit. You know, considering what they used to do, put all that barbed wire in your fucking mouth, you know. Then God forbid you got into a fight. It was just like you were a fucking bleeder. All someone had to do was just punch you right in the mouth. I was playing. We were playing kill the man with the ball. That's what we used to call that game. You just pick up the football and start running, and half your grade would tackle you, and then you just coughed it up, and someone else got it. It was fucking great. We played it. We played it every day, outdoor recess, just about. And you'd come in. You weren't even sore. Your body was brand new. He had a big puffy coat on. That's all you needed. So we were playing football one time, and it was right around the time, you know, junior high when kids started getting braces. And I remember this kid, Sean, he got somehow hit in the mouth. And when he got up, like the wires that go from like, you know, on each tooth, they had like a little fucking central hub where the wires would go through. And like, the thing had like popped off. The wire had popped off. Those things are still glued on. That's right. And he had like two wires sticking straight out of his mouth. I remember him getting up like, making this weird noise, and he was bleeding. And then we were all just standing there like, somebody get a pliers. But now they got Invisalign. And it's tremendous. And you too. And 13, well, it depends on how fucked up your teeth are and how much you're willing to wear them. Because I know somebody else that's getting them and doesn't want to wear them all the time. So she's given into the fact that it's going to take, you know, like a year and a half or some shit. And it's just like, why wouldn't you get it over with? And she was just like, why wouldn't you just fuck off? And I was like, fine. Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. Who am I to tell you how to fix your fucking dentition? All right. I'm just, you know, I'm excited. I want other people to be excited. Hey, here's something to be excited about. I watched two Bruins games this weekend. I finally saw Rick Nash playing with the Bruins. Big physical presence. Scored a goal on Saturday. Now, matinee game, those games usually suck, right? Because their fucking team's tired. They're just waking up. They used to like, they're still shaking off a hangover, and all of a sudden they're dropping the puck. There's a bunch of kids there and shit. It feels like a charity game, you know? It doesn't feel like the season. But they played a wild one on Saturday. 7-4 they won. They were up 2-0, looking like it was going to be nice, smooth fucking time. And then the Hawks gave us the old right there, Fred. Then it was 2-2. I can't remember. 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 4-4, 5-4, 6-4, 7-4. Right? I think that's what it was. And then today, like the fucking, you know, I thought we were going to, we tied it up. I thought we had the goddamn thing won, and then Chara, I don't know, the Patrick Sharp took a stick to the face from Chara. So then we got Chara in the box for a 4-minute fucking major for the rest of the goddamn game, right? A double minor, I should say. And then, and of course, they go out there and the fucking, it reminded me when we lost the Stanley Cup to them. We were like, oh, there is going to be a game 7. No, there isn't. It's over. They did that. Fucking Patrick Kane. Jesus Christ. Guy's a sniper. So I'm going to try to watch some more of the games. But I mean, I've watched so many fucking games in the last 10 years that it didn't feel like I was away that long. And I still knew most of the team because I've been watching, looking at the stats and all of that shit. So I don't know. I guess I'll try to, I don't know. Now I got the kid, man. It's fucking hard, man. I haven't been able to watch my Celtics, my Bruins. You know, Patriots are easy because it's like once a week. You know, so anyways, I'm meandering right now because I'm waiting for the all the reads and all that bullshit to come in. Because as always, I have 50,000 fucking things I have to do today, even on a Sunday. This is a day of rest. Even God rested on Sunday. I'm working harder than God, people. I shouldn't have said that. You know, this fucking person sent me this. I don't know, this fucking thing where this guy was convinced that I was possessed by Satan. And his eye for cinematography was incredible. The way he was breaking down something that I did. He got every fucking thing that we were doing right. He just had the motivation wrong. He was like, this is hypnotic. They're trying to hypnotize you. It was all to serve Satan. And it's like, no, it's not to serve Satan. It's so I can sell tickets. The reason why there's no crowd shots is because I feel your brain resets every time they cut to the fucking crowd, and then you got to try to draw them in again. When you go to a fucking stand-up show, you're not looking at the comedian and then turning around looking at people laughing every fucking 8 seconds. That would be a shitty experience. So I'm trying to recreate the live experience. That's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to serve, you know, the guy down under. All right? With my stand-up special. I do that effortlessly the way I live my life anyways. But it's fucking this YouTube video. This guy's comparing like fucking, he goes, look at the P90X. Look how they use black and white and they fucking do all this shit. It was really insane. My favorite part was when he told his kid to knock it off. I'm like, all right, he's a good dad. Hey, knock it off. But yeah. Anyways, you're going to get that, right? I guess if you put a fucking special out, you're going to get some shit like that. Who gives a fuck about my stand-up specials? You know what was awesome? Last night, I stayed in with my lovely, beautiful, gorgeous wife. And we hung in. And I started to watch Peaky Blinders. I don't know nothing about no robbery. Right? And she's like, I don't want to watch this. All right, Bill, you're white enough. I have a difficult time enough understanding you forget about these fucking people, right? So I was like, okay, fair enough. So then we were scrolling through, and I looked for the nice guys. Once again, Netflix, can you make my year and get The Nice Guys? Starring Russell Crowe and, how could I forget this guy's name? The guy from Drive. The guy from La La Land. I'll remember it later. I always... The fuck is his name? He's fucking hilarious in that movie, too. You know, fuck this. Hang on a second. I'm going to hit pause. I got to get this guy's name. Sorry. Ryan Gosling. They're fucking hilarious in that movie. Ryan Gosling's hilarious. Russell Crowe is hilarious. It's such an underrated comedy, and it reminds me of one of my favorite comedies of all time, Midnight Run. As far as I feel like the comedy, so much of it, their reactions and the way they're doing things, it comes from a real place. I don't mind wacky. I don't mind absurd or any of that bullshit, but I fucking love that movie. And so I looked it up, and for whatever reason, Netflix has every fucking movie just about on their streaming service. The biggest streaming service in the world, right? But they don't have that one. So I'm like, fuck. And then we scrolled down, and then they had Thelma and Louise. And I was just like, man, I have literally not seen that movie since I saw it when it came out in the movies. And, is that a great fucking movie. Fucking great goddamn movie. And it still holds up. And now with all this Me Too shit, you watch it now, and it's more relevant than ever. And every guy in there is just this piece of shit hitting on him. Like the guy who plays Gina Davis's husband, Christopher McDonald, he fucking steals every scene that he's in. Like you gotta watch it again. When they tell him that his wife might be involved in a murder, he just goes, "What? Wait. What?" Just the way he does. I'm butchering it. He's fucking hilarious in that movie. And we watch it. In the end, you know, I don't want to ruin the ending for people who haven't seen it. But, you know, anything that, you know, is a little nod to Vanishing Point, you got to love that. Have you ever seen Vanishing Point? That's one of the first, like, anti-hero. It was during that, not the first, but during that era of the anti-hero. Like, up until then, I guess, with movies and shit, it was always like, you know, the guy with the white hat, and who's kidding who, the white skin, was always like the fucking hero. He was always trying to do the right thing. He didn't rob, he didn't steal, and he was a fucking hero. And if you stole and you were a piece of shit, you wore the black hat. You were the bad guy. You know what I mean? I would say that they'd put minorities in those roles, but way back then, I don't even think they did that. They just had, like, they even had white people playing like Native Americans and Asians, even Asians. I remember that when I posted that thing from fucking Hawaii 50. And they had that fucking white dude, and they did something to his eyes to try to make him look, he just looked weird. Which was really strange because they had all those, I don't know if they were Asian, Hawaiian, I don't know what the fuck they were, but I mean they had plenty of people who weren't white on that show. I don't know. Didn't make any sense. But anyways, you got to love Jack Lord's Mercury Marquis. I like the first one that he had. The 67 that he had, or the 66. That was a mean fucking looking car. Anyways, but we sat and we watched that movie, and it still holds up. It still fucking holds up. This is the time when usually I would start doing some reads, but I don't fucking have any. Thelma and my reads. Oh, Jesus, Bill. Why would you make such a bad fucking joke? You know, I can't even sign into my fucking Gmail right now. I don't know what the problem is. Oh, Instagram. I'm inching closer to getting on Instagram. I figured out what my password is, and now they're like, there's been too many fucked up attempts to get into your account. And I'm like, all right, that was me. But there's nobody to say that to. So they go, we're going to send this fucking code to you. And then they never send it. Well, who's kidding who? They sent me something back in September and I never fucking responded. So now I think they're looking at my, you know, my account like it's fucked up or some shit. I have no idea. But anyways, who gives a shit? Enough about that. So thank you to everybody who who came out to my shows in Vancouver. Jesus Christ, did I have a good time. I had such a fucking great time performing up there. Such a beautiful city and all that. And this woman started running down to the stage. She was yelling something about how lesbians were better at something. And I was just like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, and I was being an asshole, you know, making fun of all that Me Too shit, you know, just, you know, feminists, they're just so easy to get mad. How do you not do it? It's just so fucking tempting as a comic. So I'm up there just saying this fucking ridiculous, ignorant shit. And everybody's laughing, including all the rest of the women there, because they know what I'm saying is so fucking ridiculous. They know I don't believe it, right? But nowadays, there's always the, you know, Franny face value in the fucking crowd, right? You got to fucking take everything like, did he mean that? Now I'm offended. Now I'm offended. So I don't know what the fuck she was doing. She started like marching down towards the stage and all this security came and just got in her way. And next thing I knew, she was being escorted out, which sucked because that meant the fun was over. I heard people, I had some friends who came out to the show. They were trying to, people were walking out saying that she was a plant. How funny is that? Like, I got that kind of time and money to fly an actor up to fucking Vancouver to interrupt my show. It's just like, at that point, wouldn't I just hire somebody to write me better material? Who knows? I have no idea. I don't know why people always think that. That's such an old showbiz thing to have a plant in the crowd, but people used to do it. They did used to do it. So I guess it's fair that they think that. But anyway, so she got kicked out. I never kick anybody out of the show. It wasn't my call either. They just fucking escorted her out. Which I thought was funny after, I mean, I kind of felt bad. I was like, well, you know, would have been fun if she stuck around. I could have heard some more of her fucking crazy theories. You know, I had another two women walked out of my show when I was down the improv. Now, if I was some sort of thinking man, I would be like, well, hey, Bill, that's two incidents in 1 week. Maybe it's you. But, you know, I really don't think it is. I just think that the extreme left are out of their fucking minds now. And they have this thing where there's only one way to think and it's their way. And there's only certain subjects you can joke about. And if they don't think that you should be joking about it, that they're just going to really just behave like children. It was funny when they got up and walked out when I was at the improv, like people were going to care. I don't know. Hey, you know what? You know what? It's just the world that we're living in, huh? Just this overly sensitive fucking time that we're living in. So anyways, the fuck am I going to get these reads? Hey, did you see Trump is going to go talk to Kim Jong-un? They're going to go hang out. So I actually looked up the fucking story, right? I looked this story up. Let me see if I can find this shit. And my first thought when I saw their picture side to side is like, you know, Trump gets way too much shit for his fucking hairdo. The picture they have on the Google News, his hair looks good to me, you know? I think it was bad for a long time where he did have a comb over, but since then hair plugs got way better and I think he filled it in. But he likes having the big swooping thing because I think that's part of his look, but I think that's all his hair. But whatever. But Kim Jong-un's haircut? However the fuck you say, Jesus Christ. I don't want to sabotage this meeting, but my God. He has like a Joseph Stalin meets Mo Howard with a little bit of John Travolta, all in the same fucking haircut. It's incredible. Really is. It's like the kind of haircut like a wrestler, you know, would have. They wanted to make a splash like, oh my God, who the fuck is this guy? But anyways, you imagine the balls of me just sitting here fucking completely bald, sitting there trashing these people's haircuts. I gave Trump a nod. I don't think it looks that bad. Compared to what? Compared to what I'm fucking dealing with, I guess. Although I think I look better than... Hey, well, let's do that. Let's do that on the Photoshop. You know when they go, who wore it best? You know? Do a fucking Trump, me, and Kim Jong-un and just vote worst haircut. And fuck all you assholes who picked me just to be cunts. I respect it, but fuck you too. All right. CIA Director Mike Pompeo has defended Donald Trump's decision to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, saying the president understands the risk. I actually think it's fucking great that he's doing this. This should happen more. Go talk it out before a bunch of people fucking die, you lunatics. He said, Mr. Trump isn't doing this for theater. He's going there to solve a problem, the spy chief told Fox News Sunday. It's funny that he's a spy, and he's going on the fucking news. The president has said the summit could produce the greatest deal for the world. What else would he say? He's been saying that. That's how it got him in the office. Everything's great. But critics have warned that if the talks go poorly, the two nations will be in a worse position than before. It's the political gamble of the 21st century, the tricky task of preparing for the Trump-Kim summit. Why is everybody so, like, why is it better that the two of them don't talk? It says, no sitting U.S. president has ever met a North Korean leader. Mr. Trump reportedly accepted the offer to do so on the spot when it was relayed by South Korean envoys on Thursday, taking his own administration by surprise. Let me ask you this. Please tell me they're not going to meet in some fucking Italian restaurant in the village. Okay? And if at any point Kim Jong-un says, I need to go to the bathroom, all right, you better have something down by your ankle. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, attempts to negotiate aid for disarmament deals have failed repeatedly since 2003 when the North pulled out of the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Mr. Pompeo told CBS the administration had its eyes wide open to the challenge of dealing with North Korea. I got to be honest with you. I don't understand what the fucking problem is. Like, why are there, do we have like economic sanctions on them? Is that why their people are starving? And we have that on them because they were part of the communist expansion. You know, there's got to be a better way to do it. We got, you know, economic sanctions. Why don't you go the other way? Why don't we ever go the other way and just become like the fucking, you know, just be like a good shit, you know, fight the guy to the Super Bowl, get him some whores, you know? Then he doesn't want to blow this place up. I can't fucking blow that up. You know, I go to the football game. I got my dick sucked. What are we doing here? I like those guys, right? It's like when the Bruins and the Rangers hated each other, and then they all played on the same team, and they went and they played the Russians, and all of a sudden the rivalry fucking died. That's what you do. These people, they got to hang out. You know, I don't know how good that'll be for the rest of us, because then they'll probably like join forces. I have no fucking idea. This is why I don't read the news. I mean, it's Princess Diana's iconic minefield walk. What the fuck is this about? How slow a news day is it that they're going to bring this shit up? I mean, that was like, she died, what, 97? Before Rosa Parks, there was a 15-year-old girl. From hero to big friend, is Bernie Sanders running for president? Five women, five countries, five babies. That sounds like a bad movie, doesn't it? The man Brussels can't stop talking about. That's the winner right there. Who's this guy's Brussels can't stop? The man at the heart of Brussels saga. Saga? I have no idea what this is about. The European Commission has denied allegations of cronyism after a protege of its president, Jean-Claude Juncker, was given one of the most powerful jobs in the EU civil service. Yeah, everybody hooks everybody up in politics. Martin Selmayr has been appointed Secretary General of the Commission. Ah, fuck. Not Martin, Selmayr. The organization that monitors whether countries are sticking to EU's rules, dreams up new laws, and runs the Brexit talks day to day. Who is he? He's a 40-something lawyer. Who gives a fuck? This is why I can't pay. Who cares? I don't care. I actually stopped caring in the middle of that. All right. I guess I have to hit pause at this point because I don't have any of my fucking advertising or any of that other bullshit. What else can I talk to you about? Oh, you know what? My fucking shoulder is doing great. I did yoga for 20 minutes before my shoulder was like, you know, getting a little like, hey, take it easy there, huh? I got weightlifting going again a little bit. I got the Get in Shape girls, you know, the pink. Oh, my God, you had a girl 1-pounders. I got the baby blue fucking 5-pounders. And I don't know. At some point, I'm going to work back up to the iron. But at this point, all my weight training, with the shit I grab, looks like it's made out of Play-Doh. But I'm fucking psyched because I told you guys, you know, I'm turning 50. I don't know if I brought that up 50,000 fucking times, but I'm turning 50 in June, and I'm going to get into the best shape of my life. That's what I plan on doing. That's my plan. Whether I do it or not, I have no idea. Not the best shape of my life. Best shape of my fucking, like, the last 10 years. Because no matter how good a shape I get in, you know, the parts of 50 years old, right? You know, they always try to say that shit, you know. They used to do that shit where it's just like, you know, they did a test. You know, I'm 50, but my fucking legs are 40. It's like, no, no, they're not. Those are all original parts. Okay? Unless you lost a leg and then they stuck a new one on there when you were 10, then that leg would be 40 years old. The prosthetic. All right, that was negative. All right, let me hit pause here.
All right, and I'm back.
That was half a second in your life, but all right, I got. Oh, geez, we got a new advertiser here. My bookie over there. My bookie. For those of you people out there who like to gamble on sports, I like these guys because they're not trying to act like, you know, this is a game of skill. They're like your bookie, my bookie. My bookie. Hey, guys, it's time to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week by betting at my bookie. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's how they always get you. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. All right, guys, gamble responsibly because, you know, I'm going to bet, you know, I bet on stuff, okay? But let's just don't put your house up, okay? This is the bookies are no different than AR-15s, okay? It's all how you use them. All right, if you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Put down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. I don't bet online. I wouldn't even know how to fucking begin to do this. I can't even get into my own Instagram account. That's just a generic line that they give every host, okay? But, you know, here you go. This is where you can fucking gamble. If you think you know what you're talking about, put your money where your mouth is. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for your payout? I would only recommend a service to you that's been good to me and our listeners. This is my first fucking read. They even have in-game live betting so you can even place a bet after tip-off. Oh, chase your money. Join now and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their million-dollar bracket challenge. Somebody always hits that right there. Use promo code BURR, B-U-R-R, to activate offer. Visit MyBookie today. Play, win, and get paid, or play, lose, and get yelled at. Those are your options. Yeah. What do you, you know, I wonder how the mob thinks about what these fucking people are doing. Hey, he's cutting in on our action over here. Bada bing, bada boosh. I'm actually going to gamble. You know, I should use my bookie. Why not? I'll throw a fucking $100 on March Madness. When does it start? Who's playing? Huh? That's what most people say. What's the game? Well, I'll throw a C note in it. All right, the Black Tux, everybody. This isn't the Me Too Black Tux that everybody wore. This is just the one for fucking regular people who didn't take their dick out at work or need to prove that they didn't, okay? This is for classy people, not these animals here in Hollywood, all right? That try to make things up with a certain colored shirt rather than adjusting their behavior, okay? This is a class act here. This is civilian outside of Hollywood Black Tuxedos. All right, for more than a year now, I've been talking about theblacktux.com. The Black Tux never gets old because they always have new and exciting styles for your next big event. Whether you're going for a stylist selected outfit or building a custom look, The Black Tux has tons of new suits and tuxedos to choose from for your big spring events. The Black Tux is always changing up their looks, making it fun to try out different suits and tuxedos. Even if you have your own suit, switching it up with The Black Tux is always a great idea. Yeah, it is a great idea. Something different. It comes all steamed and ready to go. You throw it on. You twirl your fucking lady around the dance floor. You come home. You give it back to him. Done. Over. Oh, it's kind of creepy. And then someone else wears it to something else. Just imagine all the memories that are in there. Right? It's like a fucking, I don't know what it is. For some reason, I thought, no, I can't see what I just thought. I don't know why I just thought. I'll tell you later what I was thinking of. And with their new fit algorithm, you don't have to awkwardly measure yourself or ask a friend for help. Yeah, the Black Tux does it for you. Plus, the Black Tux free home try-on lets you see the fit and feel, the quality of your suit months before your event. After ordering your suit, it will arrive for 14 days before your event. And remember how simple returns are. Wear it, turn heads, then send it back 3 days after your event. Shipping is free both ways. Stand out at your event for the right reasons with The Black Tux. To get a $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/burr. That's theblacktux.com/burr for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux. Premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered. This is what you can wear after you win all your money on my bookie. Look at that, tying everything together. Oh, look who's back. Ah, but me undies, putting on your fucking Black Tux. Me undies. Why did she suck on those cucks? Because she wanted a part in a movie. She was in not one, not two, but three, because she played that fucking game. And now how the fuck is she ever going to get any more work? You know, how are whores going to handle this whole fucking post Me Too? Some women will probably be like, ah, fuck it, I'll do it. Get over here, you fucking warthog. Anyways, you've heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know that I am a big believer in their product. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month, they have a new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. MeUndies uses lensing micromodal in their underwear. It's sustainably sourced. I don't know what that means. Naturally soft fiber. Does that mean after you cut down a tree to make this underwear, you plant another one? A modal tree? Modal? Naturally soft fiber that starts with the beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabrics you've ever experienced. The results have been downright dreamy. It's incredible that these things are made out of wood. You know, how do you not get splinters in your fucking ball bag there? No, a little picket fence along your taint. MeUndies adventurous prints are designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love your undies or your money back. How the fuck do they keep coming up with new designs is beyond me. MeUndies is sure you'll love your underwear. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, if you don't love it, you'll get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. And you get to keep the underwear. So what do they do? Take it back, wash it, give it to somebody else. Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable underwear you'll ever put on. To get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, go to MeUndies.com/burr. That's MeUndies.com/burr. Oh, we got another one. Simply Safe. I've got some exciting news. Simply Safe, a home security company I've worked with since they were a startup. I've watched them transform into the fastest growing home security company in the nation, protecting over 2 million people. Why didn't I invest in this? Well, they just released their brand new home security system, the all new Simply Safe. This system has been completely rebuilt and redesigned. They've added new safeguards to protect against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, and everything in between. What? Bats, like the fucking things that fly? Hammers. Or they mean like thieves showing up with weapons. I don't know what that means. The all-new Simply Safe was redesigned to be practically invisible with the power sensors. With power sensors so small, you'll hardly notice them. You know who will win? Intruders. Oh, you know who will? Intruders, not win. You know who Will and Trudis, they're going to notice all that shit. Okay, this is what truly this is what's truly remarkable to me. Simply Safe spent years building this system. They added so much, but you still get the same fair and honest price, 24/7 protection for only $15 a month, and there's no contract. It's smaller, faster, and stronger than anything they've built before, but supply is very limited. Visit SimplySafeBurr, BURR.com now to order. That's SimplySafeBurr.com. Protect your home and family today. SimplySafeBurr.com. You know what I was wondering? Like, can you also use that shit to, like, catch your roommates stealing your shit? You know, going into your fucking room? All right. Lastly, but not leastly, stamps.com. Stamp.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. Mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. Create your stamp.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click print and mail and you're done. They'll send you a digital scale. It automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. I use your needs. I feel for me, second class would be the best. I use Stamps.com, and I'm going to be using it this year when I come up with a poster for my fucking tour, when I ship them out to these venues. And I'm a moron. If I can figure out how to use it, so can you. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service. I don't know why I keep yawning. With this special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. Okay, I just realized I left the monitor in the other room. I don't want my daughter to wake up without me. All right, hang on. You know what? She's still sleeping. And I just realized that it's not 4:15, it's 5:15. So I need to wake her up. I hate having to wake her up. But I got to do that or else she's just going to throw her all off. All right, I got to hit pause again. Hitting pause again. All right, I'm back. He's back. All right, I was all set to launch into why Postmates sucks. Because I finally downloaded it onto my phone, the app, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do what all the kids are doing, blah, 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 fuck a doobie doobie doo, and order the food, and some fucking kid's going to show up, and they haven't, you know, they can't fucking ring a doorbell anymore. They're sitting there, they're texting you that they're outside of the house, knocking the fucking door. So anyways, I've used it twice, same place, okay? The first fucking guy, say I said that I live on fucking 9,858 Main Street, North Main Street. He went to the South Main Street. He's just like, oh, bro, I'm fucking 9 miles from your house, bro. What the fuck, dude? It's not how we talked. He was actually a good shit. And I sat there blaming myself, going, I probably fucked it up. I just signed up. I bought it, all this fucking shit. And turned out I didn't fuck up. I put my right zip code in, and they fucked up. I still tip the guy, right? I got to need to be liked. He was a good guy, whatever. So I ordered it again, same fucking place, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And then I'm looking, and it says it's going to be here at like 6. And I'm like, fine, you know, but it's, I can't negotiate it. And then fucking, I don't know, I hit something and it said, oops, there's been a problem. Your order can't go through. So I was just like, ew, fucking fuck Postmates and all this shit. And I ate something else. And in the middle of prepping that, the doorbell rings and my order came. So I don't know what I did. So I apologize to Postmates for all the shit I just said about him walking around my house. Evidently, I fucked it up. I went back to some other screen. All I knew is I couldn't tell if I ordered it and it had gone through. I don't know. It doesn't take much to fucking, you know. Sorry, I'm typing my password. I can't fucking think and type at the same time. It doesn't take much to throw me off. That's all I'm saying. All right? So whatever. Postmates is fine. Okay. All right. Bill, tour dates. Second and third late shows added to some of these dates. Oh, nice. Nice, nice, baby. Boo, 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 doo, 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 doo. Oh, fucking Billy Bighead's got a fucking tour he's doing. I'm going to be in Kitchener, Ontario, March 7th. We added a late show. I'm sorry, March 17th. Oh, St. Patty's Day. Tooraloorooraloora, and the green alligator, and the something, something, and the long-necked goose, Conor McGregor, and a fucking something. All right. Tulsa, Oklahoma, March 30th. When San Antonio, we added a show. March 31st, we added a late show in Pittsburgh. April 6th, we added a late show in Cincinnati. April 7th, as I go through the fucking AFC Central, the old AFC Central division. Nashville, we added a late show. April 21st. San Francisco, I'm there the May 14, 15, 16, and 17. 17th is the only day with tickets left. Look at you fucking guys showing up for the bald, freckled cunt. Thank you. Then I'm doing the Three Arena in Dublin, Ireland, and then I'm doing Royal Albert Hall in London, England. Can you believe that? And if you fucking think that I'm not setting up an old Ludwig kid there during the fucking day and playing a bunch of Zeppelin when the place is empty, you don't know me. I'm going to do that unless they tell me I can't. Then I'll be like, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to offend the queen. Whatever the fuck I'm supposed to say. Added a late show in Minneapolis on June 29th. We added a late show in Seattle, July 15th. What other ones? All right, whatever. You'll see all this shit. Where I'm going to be at. Oh, man. Oh, this is going to be a fun year. It's going to be a fun year. All right. Enough of me fucking drooling over all those great places I get to perform at. Boston Sports. Hey there, Billy Russell. Do you think Boston is the type of city that could have supported two teams in any sport? Do you think it's something it could handle in the future? Thanks, and go fuck yourself. Well, we had that opportunity way back in the day. We had the... let's see. We had the Boston Braves and the Boston Red Sox. The Braves ended up leaving. I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I don't know how the Brooklyn Nets did it. Where all those people out there were Knicks fans. And then all of a sudden the New Jersey Knicks move out there and it just says Brooklyn and everybody just jumps on the bandwagon and says, fuck the Knicks. I don't get that. Especially if you're a longtime suffering Knicks fan. And then what if they win it? You know, even if the Brooklyn Nets win it, it's not going to be the same. You didn't fucking, they showed up during your life. You know, that's like the second wife. You don't love her the way you loved the first one because the first one went bad, I would think, right? I don't know. And then, of course, we had two football teams there for a minute. We had the New England Patriots, and we had the Boston Breakers in the USFL. I went to a game against the Washington Federals at Nickerson Field. No, I don't, this is the deal. We don't need more than one team in every sport the way New York does to try to fucking win some championships. I'm telling you. The fucking New York Yankees are the sugar daddy of New York City. Like, that's the reason why New York City is not looked upon as one of the most pathetic fucking sports towns ever. Just considering the amount of titles versus the amount of fucking teams. You know, the Knicks haven't won in forever. The Nets have never won. The Mets haven't won in 30-something years. The Jets haven't won since Super Bowl fucking three. Who else? The Knicks, you know, the Knicks since what, 73? The Rangers have won once since 1940. And they're going on a 25-year fucking drought again. They're about halfway through that fucking curse again already. Just like that. They went 54 years the last time. They're almost at the halfway point of that. Giants are decent. Giants are respectable. And also they did, some Giants also won some NFL titles too, so. But what kills the fucking city for me, aside from my blind hatred of them, is the fact that, you know, you can just go, oh, what about the Giants? Because you already have the Jets, so you don't have to have the Jets hanging around your neck. Oh, the fucking Mets. Oh, what about the Yankees? You know what I mean? They always have like a fucking option. I don't know. And I got to be honest with you. I don't understand how the Clippers fucking survive. But they do. I just don't see that happening in a city like Boston. The size of it and the ridiculous loyalty that you would bring a new team. Like, who the fuck would you bring in there? I mean, everybody hates us at this point, and everybody's talked shit about us. So who are you going to move there? The Jaguars? The New England Jaguars? Would you put them out in Worcester? Change their name? The fucking Worcester Wildebeests? I don't know. Former vegetarian and anti-weightlifter. Dear Billy Bison Thighs, heard you talking about lifting weights with Kenny Aronoff. Can I just read that sentence again? Heard you talking about lifting weights with Kenny Aronoff. How fucking awesome was he on the podcast? I can't believe I got to meet that guy. Really glad you understand the benefits. I was a vegetarian who only did cardio for 5.5 years. I recently started eating animal fat again, and I feel a lot better. I'm not going to preach against vegetarianism, but the mental benefits of those types of cholesterols complete improved my hormone, energy, and cognitive levels. I only eat grass-fed meat and try to eat in the morning to improve brain function. Also, since I started lifting weights once or twice a week, my upper body feels better than when doing basic tasks around the house and yard. What's your take on red meat? Are you picky where it comes from? Nah, dude, I'll eat a fucking cow that ate another cow. I don't have the patience. There's a butcher, you know, couple of towns over, I guess I could go to. Sometimes I go there, but generally speaking, I don't know what I'm eating. But I try to eat as well as I can. What's my take on red meat? It's fucking delicious. I start to read up on all of that shit and it just gets so fucking depressing. So they just say it's grass fed. Okay, so it's grass fed. Everything says it's fucking organic. It isn't organic. It's got a bunch of crap put in there. Like, the system to monitor what's in your food, like most systems at this point, is so fucking corrupt. I don't know what to do, but I will go back to lifting weights. I don't think I'm going to do like bench pressing. I'll do it with dumbbells. For some reason with dumbbells, I can control the angle independently on both shoulders and I don't have a fucking problem. But bench pressing is for young people, and I am not young. All right. Vermont gun laws. Bill, I'm from New Hampshire, and I always found it fascinating how lenient Vermont's gun laws are. Here's a basic rundown of how Bernie runs things and why he's always careful around the gun law conversation. Minimum age to purchase and possess in Vermont. Vermont allows any person age 16 or older to possess a handgun without the consent of a parent or guardian. There is no minimum age to possess a rifle or a shotgun in Vermont. Vermont law allows firearm sales to anyone 16 years or older. Thanks. All right. Well, I really don't have a problem with any of that. I just have a problem with people who are mentally ill getting them. That's the problem. And nobody on either side seems to know how to stop that from happening. You know, the fucking people who buy guns keep making... This guy made this whole video showing how, like, this rifle he had a bullet twice the size of an AR-15 going, but this is the friendly gun. Nobody's scared of this one, and it's got a bullet twice the size. But see, yeah, but it's the fucking semi-automatic, you cunt. You know what they're saying. You know what they're saying. And everybody's just got to fucking just sit there and act like they don't understand doesn't everybody want this shit to stop? Somebody, for the love of fucking God, just come figure out how to fuck. You can't be a fucking nut job and just walk in and get a fucking gun. That's the fucking problem. But people who like to buy guns don't want it to be extra difficult for them to get the fucking thing because they're not nuts. So, which is crazy to me. I don't, you know. But watching both of those arguments, they're talking about two totally different fucking things. One side's just like, get rid of all of the guns, stupid. Guns are great. Guns do great things, okay? They you can defend yourself with the gun, and you can hunt with the gun, Okay, you can scare somebody off with the fucking gun. There's great fucking things. And then there's bad things you can do with the gun. It's a hell of an invention. Hell of an invention. All right, wife unable to grow the fuck up. Okay. Hey there, Billy, sad old sober ball sack. Now, I'm not sober anymore. I got a rack of Bud Talls sitting in the fridge. I love a Budweiser every once in a while in a can. Takes me back to when I first got shit-faced down in Faneuil Hall. Been a listener for a few years. Actually, I was drinking Michelob Light that night. I'm particularly a fan of the way you look at sensitive topics like religion. Not everyone is able to question the fact of why all other religions sound silly like our own. I love that bit on your special. Well, thank you. You know, and as much as you loved it, somebody else thought I was a servant of Satan. Now for the question. I'm a guy on my early 30s. You mean in my early 30s, married with a beautiful 2-year-old daughter. Congrats on yours, by the way. It's a wonderful thing being a father. Yes, it is. However, my wife routinely gets nostalgic about her teenage years. She's unable to get a steady job, keeps changing topics at school. So she attends a certain course for a couple years, gives up, heads on to the next one. I was hoping becoming a mom would help, but it looks like it hasn't. Recently, she's even been asking, how upset would I be if she told me she was cheating? What the fuck? That's a hell. She has apparently been watching some fucking show on Netflix where the protagonist is a chick that cheats to feel free and young again. Isn't it a fuck? It's just women. I swear to fucking God. I swear to God. Do you know if they ever put a show on the fucking air where a guy was cheating on his wife to feel free and young again, the amount of fucking attacks that goddamn show would get? You know, this is one thing that I have learned generally when it comes to women, okay? If you fuck up, it's your fault, okay? It's your fault. If they fucked up, it's because of something you did. That's kind of how it works. I told her I think that's bullshit. I can go out on a guy's night out, smoke a cigar, drink some alcohol, and have a fucking great time, and that's basically more than enough for me. Unfortunately, I have also found out she's been trying to engage in conversation with her first big crush. Oh, boy, dude. Like, you don't have to be a genius to read these tea leaves here, man, at least the way you're presenting it. So what's your takes on this? What the fuck do I do with this woman? We're planning on having a second child, but honestly, I'm not sure if it's a good idea. It's fine for me to stay with my daughter and she can fuck off if that's what she wants. I almost think you have to tell her that. Find out first. What's going on with you? You're asking me how I would feel if you cheated on me. You're watching this show where this woman's cheating and you're having conversations with your first big crush. Okay, I need to know what's going on. Are you going through a phase? Because if this fucking thing's over, it's fucking over. I'm not having another kid with you. And I wouldn't get upset the way I'm getting upset for you to say it. I would just put it online, like, what's going on with you? And I don't know how much I would trust her. Listen to what she has to say. And before I have another kid with that person, I would hire a private investigator to follow her around to see if she's not fucking somebody else. No, I wouldn't. But you should. By the way, you said, I'm doing very well professionally and have also some hobbies that keep me entertained. Having a daughter certainly takes a toll on a relationship. I'm guessing she has too much free time and maybe consequently feels neglected. We do try to watch a show every now and then, and we go out as a family regularly on the weekends. Sex life is okay. Not sure if we can blame this situation on me. Thanks a lot. Well, God knows she's gonna. I mean, what man doesn't feel fucking neglected too when they have a kid? I mean, your sex life does suffer. You know, so that you then go out and, you know, do something to feel free and wanted. Yeah, you need to sit down and talk to her. Find out what the fuck is going on. And I would just tell her what you're doing, and the way you're making me feel right now is not even remotely fair, and it's not something I would do to you. So what the fuck? Just clean that up. Say it in a nice way. Man, that's fucking annoying. There's a show out there where a woman fucks around to feel free and young again. Listen, here's the thing, all right? It's not that I even fucking mind that show, because I believe that there are people out there like, there's people out there that they're just not designed to be married. There's people out there that can actually do that and it doesn't mean shit to them, both men and women. And they can just fucking walk back in. It doesn't mean shit to them. The problem is the person they're with, it means something to. So I'm pretty fucking open-minded, but I'm just annoyed that if you made a, you know, did they, oh, I guess, was Californication like that? I have no idea. I never watched that show. I couldn't get into that show. I didn't get what this guy's problem was. Oh, man, you know, these fucking young chicks just want to keep banging me. I'm supposed to feel bad for this guy. Anyways, friend's wife is attracted to me. Jesus Christ. Dear Billiard the Cubald. The Cubald. I like that. Appreciate the podcast and everything you do, and thank you for taking the time to read this email. No problem. Thank you for the funny nickname. I like it. I'm in a tricky situation here. There are four people involved. My buddy of 12 years. Oh, man. His wife of 2 years. Dude, where's your loyalty? My girlfriend of 6 months and myself. We are all in our mid to late 20s. Oh, boy. It has recently come to light that the wife is interested in me. Oh, geez, you just skipped over a lot of fucking details. How did that come about? She sent you a Valentine? Or were you guys having inappropriate conversation that led to that? Anyways, I met her about 3 years ago while she and my buddy were still just dating. She was my type, and I was drawn to her immediately. She is at least a 9 for my taste, but I just put her in the unobtainable compartment in my brain since she wasn't available. I did not give her any additional thought beyond being cordial. I didn't really care to get to know her, and I didn't think about what it would be like to date her. Though if she had been single, I would have gone after it. All right, so far, according to you, you've been a good guy. Fast forward to the recent past. My buddy's wife and I got to know each other on a bit more of a personal level on my birthday a few months ago. My girlfriend was there too, and it seemed like my bud's wife took an interest in getting to know my girlfriend as well. Since then, the four of us have hung out a few times, and the wife has gotten to know me a lot better. I've also been hitting the gym, which has gotten the attention of my buddy's wife. Ah, Jesus Christ. All right, they've been married 2 years, you're 20, in your late 20s. So she's looking to pull a ripcord. Where the fuck was I? Okay, so one weekend, a group of people, including myself and my buddy's wife, go to a club. My girlfriend was invited, but decided to go to sleep instead. Obviously, alcohol was flowing, and there isn't much room on a dance floor. I'll spare you the details. Dude, what do you mean, spare me the details? It was just getting good. Fuck. What the fuck? This is like a Cinemax movie. I'll spare you the details, and suffice to say that I learned that night that she was into me. When what? She was doing the running man on your dick? I don't know what. Okay, I was pretty overwhelmed and thrilled because I thought she was a bit out of my league. I'm also not the happiest in my relationship, which makes it harder for me to sort out my feelings on the matter. This girl excels in the areas that my girlfriend doesn't. I certainly am very attracted to her and enjoy this type of attention. I didn't know if she was unhappy in a relationship or what. I've tried to see what this girl wants or if there's a problem with her marriage, but she has had a lot of dodgy answers like, I wasn't looking for anything, or this isn't supposed to go anywhere, or I'm perfectly happy in my relationship, etc. She also has a hard time committing to any boundaries. Oh, fuck this chick. Fuck this chick. Or maybe she just got drunk and said something stupid. It all sounds like bullshit to me. I think she is lacking affection from my buddy, and she's bored and horny. She also sounds like she just doesn't want to admit that there's a problem. She's trying to have the security of a marriage and the thrill of a new romance. We haven't kissed or anything yet. Big word, yet. But I feel like we've already desecrated both of our relationships. I also feel like any increased fun talk about and the tension will eventually reach the inevitable breaking point. Yeah, you got to stay away from her. What should I do? My girlfriend will lose her shit if she hears about this. My buddy will be really unhappy. I think you flip those. I think your girlfriend will be unhappy. Your buddy will lose his shit. Anyways, and I already feel like I couldn't trust this girl if we did get together. However, I don't really care. I just love to hook up with her. It's honest. I can tell this girl has something wacky going on, but I don't have the strength to reject her advances. What should I do? Thank you so much and go fuck yourself. Stop going out to the club with them. Or fucking rub one out before you go out, or don't drink when you go out there. Yeah, that's going to blow up. That is going to fucking blow up in your face. But who's kidding who, man? That type of shit happens all the fucking time. All the fucking time. Married women will come up to another guy and say that they're attracted to him. I mean, there's all this shit out there now about guys' behavior and that type of shit. Women do it all the fucking time. And they say they're better at it. I don't think they necessarily are. I think what the thing is that just women are into vengeance. So, if you get like something like that going, and if they don't get a fucking check for $1 million in a house, they're going to try to do something to blow up your life. That's what they do. Guys, we walk away. Fuck you, bitch. And we walk away. They don't. They burn down your fucking life. First of all, break up with the fucking chick you're with now. And go find somebody else to fuck around with, all right? You don't need to be fucking around with your buddy's unhappy wife. Because you're never going to be able to trust her, all right? You're just not. And then you're going to lose your friendship of 12 years with this other guy, all right? This is basically like your dicks in Congress right now, like filibustering, you know? Your dick has the floor right now. That's what the problem is. If you just sit down, okay, and you listed all the pros and cons of doing this, if you were where I was at right now, sitting there, the answer is easy. Don't do that. Don't do that. But when you're in it and your dick is there, all fucking logic goes out the fucking window. So, I don't know. I would just fucking. She said there's nothing else to it. I would leave it at that. And if she brings it up again, I would just say, look, you said there was nothing to it. Okay. So I don't want to hear any more of that kind of talk. You can't hang out with her anymore. You can't. You cannot fucking hang out with her unless that dude is there. And if this guy's really your fucking friend, by the way, wait a minute. If this guy's really your friend, you know, you wouldn't be thinking about doing that. And B, oh man, I don't know if you tell him. I don't know if you should tell. I wouldn't tell him. It's a fucking mess. You know, a woman would. Women would. Women would initiate the conversation and then turn around and fucking, don't tell him. Don't tell him. That's a stupid fucking idea, because then she'll flip the fucking story, start crying, he'll feel bad, and he's going to choose her over you. Dude, you got a situation. There's just so many fucking ways that this can go, and none of it's good unless you just walk away. Walk away. Go back to the room. Go back to the room. Fuck it. It's that moment in fucking when you're playing cards where you just gotta admit you're not gonna win tonight, just fucking cash out and go back to the fucking room. That's what you should do. Jerk off to her as much as you fucking want till you get it out of your system. Go find somebody else that you like that makes you not think about your buddy's wife. How about that? There we go. But I'm sure she just wants to feel free. All right. I know, I was a little bit of an asshole, but what are you gonna do? All right, that's the podcast. Once again, thank you for everybody who came out in Vancouver. And I'm going to be in Ontario coming up this weekend on the 17th, wherever the fuck I'm going to be. I can't remember. It begins with an L, I think. It's up on my website, bill@billbird.com. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.